Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and Branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Welcome back to Comic Book Nation's Quick Save, our gaming segment focused on all things gaming and gaming media related. And this is another bonus episode of Quick Save where Matthew Aguilar and I, your host Kofi Outlaw, are breaking down Halo Season 2. And right now, because we're getting deep into the season, we are on Halo Season 2, Episode 6, Onyx. What's going on, Matt? How are you?
What's up? No, doing good. I'm excited to talk about it. I look forward to this every week.
So do I. I mean, this is between this show and Shogun. Like, I mean, I could just turn this whole podcast into those two TV show recaps, but that's neither here nor there. Program note, we have joining us today the one, the only, Kai125, Kate Kennedy, sat down with your boy Matthew Aguilar to talk about this episode. And if you are coming on here after seeing Halo Season 2, Episode 6, you definitely know why. Kai is the person we need to be talking with. So that's a great segue. If you are just getting into Comic Book Nation, we do our main show that does it all for geek culture every Friday live. You guys should definitely be there for that. And we also have a bunch of other spinoff shows besides Quick Save. We have Anime Initiative, where we cover all things anime. Plus, Matt is the host of The Pull List, where he pulls the best comics every week and tells you guys in the comic book community or those looking to get deeper into it what you should be reading. So make sure you subscribe to Comic Book Nation on our podcast feeds on Spotify, Apple, iHeartMedia, pretty much everywhere there are podcasts. Thanks, guys. All right, so let's get into Onyx. You know, Matt, you and I, we got the previews for the first four batches of Halo episodes, and they're kind of doling out these previews to us. But I've been trying to keep it in relative real time with the watching audience these days, maybe just the day before, because I got to write these long Halo recaps because the show is getting so dense with characterization and every scene matters. So it means we got to write stuff about it. Arr! But this was another good kind of, I like how this show is pacing where, like, even the quote unquote slow episodes aren't slow in the traditional sense. They avoid right. That kind of like Game of Thrones-y or kind of other shows we see where it's just not like boring conversation. It's like, if we're not doing battle payoff, we're doing dramatic payoff or kind of ominous foreshadowing that feels like it's going to matter. And this episode was exemplified all of that. I think it was great that we got, I mean, you know, you have these action sequences and it's hard to make action sequences and do these kind of familiar tropes, like pulling the rug, like it was all a dream. Like, but this episode starts with like Perez and us being like, yo, what the hell's going on here? And like thrown into an intense, you know, space combat sequence where we're seeing Perez and people get taken out by needlers again. And it's pretty intense. And again, I love that this show is using the tactic of not just mindless battle, but keeping almost every battle scene centered on a person we care about and seeing it from his or her perspective. And so we see Perez in the fit of battle and seeing what it's like to be a Spartan and go through this while we're asking all the questions. And then, of course, we find out, oh, it's a simulation. And then we get right from there that action sequence, the deeper character pay, you know, drama of just seeing Perez and Kai together for the first time. And they have obvious beef and like all of that. So, yeah, that kind of is a good pace setter for like what happens in this episode, which, again, so well balanced because there are about like 5 battle scenes when you really count them in this one,
yeah,
including the simulations. There's like, or no, 6 if you want to count Kai's like little mini simulation with herself. There's 6, so there's about 6 action sequences in this, but also like a whole lot of reveals that we've been building to from across the season and a whole lot of character payoff. You know, we finally get to see Chief and Kai see each other and have to have that conversation. We get to know more about where Ackerson fits into this larger picture of the ONI and Perengoski, you know, Admiral Perengoski, and what her whole thing has been. And I love how they brought her back in as a villain when she was just kind of a forgettable character in season one. Now she's kind of come back in and slowly but surely is bigger and bigger mastermind of running this war. And again, not evil and arch, but like what she's doing to win a war is, you know, there's a lot more pawns on her chessboard than, you know, the average person she sees and how she sees things. So, yeah, I mean, I'm really impressed with what this show is doing and how, like we said, everybody's coming together. Lara, Soren, Quan, Master Chief, all these stories are now connected in the most direct and character-centric ways possible. And it was another win for me, man. Another win.
Yeah, well, going off of what you teased at the beginning of the show, I feel like the rocks finally is very apt. I mean, we've been wanting Kai to talk to Kai for so long. Just she was, you know, the character was such a big part of season one's, like, the things that worked, like, half of them were around Kai. It was around the character of, that was the character that you were starting to see emotion build through. That was the character that, you know, kind of had this kind of beaming personality amidst all the gray and stuff. And so what I love here that they're doing in this show is that we've kind of had it flipped, right? Because now, you know, we get to that big scene with her and Chief, and yeah, it's a battle scene, but that is as much a character scene as it is a battle scene. And there's so much going on there between the characters. And now Kai's on the other end of this, you know, Chief is telling her, like, where does the Spartan, you know, end and the person begin? And they're having all these conversations while he's getting the literal.
Yeah, let's get into that. Let's get into that. I was going to save it, but let's get into some specific scene work. Holy frijoles. That scene went on longer. I kept saying, like, okay, now you're going to cut, or now it's going to stop, or now it's going to. Holy crap. That went on for so long, and by the end, when she kicks him in the mouth with Spartan armor, and you get up, and unlike other shows where it'd be like Chief had like a bruise on his jaw, no, man, that dude looks like he got teeth knocked out and his jaw is hanging off by the end of that fight, and you're just like, seeing your hero get beat like that is unusual, and kudos to this show, because like you said, this is Star Wars type, you know, dueling scenes where the conversation is as deadly as, you know, the actual dueling that's taking place. And yeah, the brutality of which, but you know, the brutality, because Kai is like fighting, it's because of what Master Chief is saying to her that she doesn't want to listen to or think about. Basically, you know, thinking for herself and challenging her. And as you said, it's such a great juxtaposition where Kai was like the early rebel of the Spartans to take out her chip and to start feeling all those feelings and question Master Chief and do all this stuff in the first season. And to see her come around and him asking her, like, now that you have free will, like, what person are you choosing to be? And her just not being able to think beyond, like, I have orders and I do this still. And her obvious deep-seated frustration with that is, yeah, man, that was a great scene and brutal on the surface.
Yeah, and it really goes to show. I mean, we've talked a lot about the season, how they've showcased how deadly Spartans are without the armor. But now you see the difference between someone having it, someone not having it, even someone like Chief, who, by the way, they also made look like a complete badass earlier on in that awesome scene where he's being like restrained and he just like
seven action scenes.
It's like beats down everybody. Oh my God, that was such a killer scene. And then it's
move over, you know, Captain it's also, America elevator.
Yes, right? Very much. I got those vibes a lot. Yeah. And it was, you know, fantastic. They even used like the, you know, whatever the like pulley that he's, you know, being attached to or whatever. They use that. It's like got Scorpion vibes, right? It's like, you know, I half expected him to yell, you know, get over here to somebody. It was awesome. But then you have what's great is right after the scene, you know, with right after the scene with Kai. Later on, anyway, it's actually a little bit, but later on, you then see the reunion that we've all kind of been, you know, looking for with him and Cortana. And you see then, like, yeah, he doesn't have his armor, but how much, like, of a game changer Cortana is, and how that, you know, we've been building to that reunion for so long.
I see what you did there. I see what you did there. Game changer.
Yeah, man.
I see what you did there.
it was cool. It made it, you know, he's going through all the doors and she's just like opening everything. It's such a great, I don't know, it paid off so well. I thought it was such a great reunion between those two. And it's, you know, it's not, it's the way it's written too. It's like, again, there's like a necessity, like they need to work together, but he's not as unwilling this time around. Like he understands like what he's missing.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today. Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's what we said at the beginning of season, which is like people's big criticism is always the same right now, which is when do we get to the Halo? Like this isn't Halo. Like, and as we said last episode, the benefit this show has is coming out at a time when the Halo mythology has already grown so much from where we started with the first Grant game. So now we have entire lore that goes way beyond the events of the first game. And afterwards, after the third game or fourth game, we still have new growing lore. You know, it's a whole universe now. And so this show gets to play with all of that. And we said the benefit of this is that by the time we start to get to the actual Halo, what it does, and what it means and why this is, these are stakes. We're going to be so immersed in this universe, its characters, the various, you know, agendas that are at work, that it will matter. And that's something that we never got from the games. Like, it, like, I couldn't have told you why I needed to stop the Halo ring, or like what the Covenant and their whole religious thing was when I was playing the games. I didn't care, or how the Flood were involved. But like, in this show, it already is going to matter to so many of the characters for so many reasons that we can already see taking shape. And I think they're doing a fantastic job, to the point where when you see Master Chief and Cortana reunited, like, this is something we had in the first season, but it was this weird conflict, like you said, you forget, like, it was just put a smile on my face, because it reminded me, like, oh yeah, I forget about that element of the games. Like, you're walking through a ship and Cortana, how much Cortana does for you. It's like, go this way and door opens because Cortana has been working on it, and like hops into the ship system and guides you through and stuff. And when I saw that again on screen, I was like, oh yeah, this is the team. We back, baby. Like, here we go. And it's like,
and he's
even
smiling.
Without the armor. Yeah.
While he's doing like, it, like, he's enjoying it. You know what I mean? Like, it was
yeah. Cool. And this is what we said. When we get to Master Chief, this episode honed in on it so well that I feel like we should have a crystal ball. It was that when Master Chief has to put back on this armor, and it's just him and Cortana, and he knows he's the one who's got to stop this Halo ring, we will know why and the full impact of how he got there, and, you know, why he's taking on something lonely and important, and why he has to do it, and why it, Cortana then becomes like his BFF and his companion, and is so important to him, and that connection is so important to him. So we will know all these things by the time we get into this main damn Halo story. And I'm about it. And even in this episode, you know, Var, Gottenai, the Arbiter, we finally see the Arbiter fully taking shape,
yes,
too. From the branding on the chest, to the branding of shame, to, you know, the showdown in that. And I loved how that built through the episode with the priest kind of coming in and throwing all
what
that
a mouthy
shade.
Priest.
Yeah, that mouth, I mean, have you met any other? I mean, but they say a good pastor is, you know, in our community, we say a good pastor is somebody who's always up in your business, right? Like, that's a sign of a good pastor. But nah, man, this one was asking a lot of questions. And I loved how the subtlety of McKee and the Arbiter forming that relationship when he's trying to just kind of play things along and keep people at bay. But of course, by the end, it all comes to a head. And, you know, again, like, because we've done the work, because we didn't just have a guy in silver armor show up and just be like, it's the Arbiter, look out. Like, because we took the slow build to getting to know McKee, to getting to know Var, you know, where he's coming from and all that. When we see a bunch of CGI monsters fighting on screen, like, it actually matters and we actually have stakes. And we're like, oh my God, I hope Arbiter or McKee doesn't get killed. And these are our villains, right?
Yeah.
And again, smartly done, because it starts out and we get a couple action scenes of Covenant throwing down with each other. But we also then just see it from McKee's perspective as she's crawling away, being like, holy free, holy, like we would be if a bunch of weird, you know, tentacle face aliens started just rumbling around us. Like, we'd all be like, yeah, holy crap. Like, and so it's well done. And now by the time we get to a storyline that even if in season three boils down to just a lot of scenes of Chief and Cortana, McKee and an Arbiter, like, that'll all make sense. And when they all come together, eventually we'll be like, okay, bro, we lit, like, let's go. Like, we're locked in now. Yeah. Like, these are the key players. Like, we're locked in, and there's still a cast of supporting players that we can, you know, attach to. Cause even like Miranda Keys comes back into this episode. We finally see where she's been dealing with the, you know, down in these ruins and all that, which we got to talk about some of the subplots, because there's a lot of subplots that are both building us towards Halo. But also, I had a question. There's that ominous scene near the end with Soren and Lara, and they find that little mark on the ground. Was that our first sign of the Flood? Is that what I was supposed to take from that?
I didn't know what to exactly take from that, because I thought it could be a couple things, but I mean, that is definitely one option.
It looked kind of grassy and rooty. Like, I was like,
yeah,
I
it could very much be, because then you also heard like people coming though. So like,
yeah,
So I was just, I thought, you know, I was like, okay, you could go a couple different ways with that, but I didn't know exactly which way they're leaning. But the flood is an option. I'm one of the people who like doesn't like, I remember in the games, people hated the flood. People hated like battling the flood, like criticized a lot of those things. So I'm one of the people who's like, you know, I'm good for that not showing up for a minute. Like, you know, tease some things, set some foundations and stuff, but I don't necessarily need that yet. There's so much happening already. But again, if they're just planting seeds, so to speak, then cool. But yeah, I don't know exactly what to make from that.
I think I could get to the flood sooner before later, because I think the flood adds that back against the wall desperation to things. Like, now it's not just the Covenant and the war. It's like, yeah, we could all die. And it brings some kind of, it brings up the uses of Halo and why the ring gets activated and kind of like what it does as a kind of cleansing, as a brutal cleansing agent. You know what I mean? So like, I could see them kind of starting to sprinkle that in. There's also that chamber and the symbol on it that they find in the ruins, right? Like where, yeah, Miranda is. And it had, again, like kind of a leafy, earthy looking thing that looks like it could be, you know, something.
And can we talk about that too? Like bringing back, again, characters and elements from season one and then folding them into what's happening here, right? Because like that reunion, you know, with Halsey and stuff, you're like, oh yeah, I forgot that was like a huge thing in, you know, season one. And that was like the hierarchy of that and kind of the battle for power between them and everything. And then for now to fold that into this and like, oh, hey, your research has been helping us and you're not the only one qualified. And all that stuff was, again, really interesting when you also have this like, you know, giant kind of mysterious power thing happening over here. It can be very easy to get lost in that, but we're still, again, dealing with the character dynamics and relationships and stuff from season one. So it's just they did a lot in this episode, and probably we will get some. I imagine at least one of those will end up being a tie to the flood. Some, you know, they planted a couple here, but I just want to see, again, I want to see it used, you know, in a way that like doesn't just take over everything, because they've done that so well up to this point. So yeah, kudos.
Yeah, I'm looking up just some things about from the Halo Wiki. Yeah, there's a lot of ways they could take what's coming down, like what that threat is, because it, depending on how closely they stick to the lore, yeah, there are some other things. Again, and this is stuff. And yeah, there's so much in this. It depends on how they kind of access the lore, but what Onyx is and like what's there gets even more complicated, because then you're getting into like the Forerunners and technology. And so there's other things on there, and it says that it was a safe, basically, this is not necessarily the flood, but you know, remember that Halo is in a universe of species that go back, and we know a couple generations of forebears, right? There are the Forerunners, then there's the other ones called the what were the other ones called? I forget. Anyway, they had another thing before the Forerunners that came, and so all that technology is still a part of this universe, and they had different ways of dealing with things like the flood besides just the Halo rings and stuff like that. So there's all this ancient tech that has filled out the Halo universe from different stages, not just Covenant and UNSC, but also, like I said, Forerunner technology and all that. So there's a lot of ways they could take this. I mean, it depends on how complicated we're going to get in this thing, but I mean, the show is not shying away from swimming in the deep end of the lore, so it'll be interesting to see what, because if people are thinking it's Flood and if we get a fake out there, I'm really kind of interested to see that. Anything else we want to do before we kind of wrap up and throw to your interview with Kate Kennedy?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We got at the end of the episode, we got some keystone in. That means maybe we get some Halo in. Maybe we see a Halo pretty soon.
I knew it was coming. I was. How has that not been a recurring thing? We haven't done that. That's amazing. It's right there. No, I just think they're doing such a good job. I look forward to the show every week, and the final two episodes. I'm just really curious as to. One thing I do love, and actually we mentioned this in the interview as well, is that how everything is. They've done a really good job of keeping everything pretty localized. So like, everything's not in the exact same place, but pretty close. So like, it doesn't feel like there's like, oh, there needs to be a whole episode to get everyone on the board to the same area. Like we're all kind of remotely around each other. And so it just feels like at any time during an episode, everything can converge at once. And I like that. And I think they've done a good job of that this season. And even to the back half here, right? Like everyone's kind of hovering around the same space, even though they're not in exactly the same space. So it lends an unpredictability to it that I enjoy. And I hope they keep that in these last two episodes.
Yeah. We also got a lot of people we care about that can be taken out. And that's good for stakes. Like, yeah, I mean, from Soren and Lara to Kai herself to Perez, and yeah, there's a lot of characters we could see go that would make us feel something. Don't hurt. I also like that they're making. Yeah, oh yeah, gotta keep Bokeem Woodbine. But I also like that Quan is still relevant throughout this, and they've tied her in back to this kind of religious larger purpose that her family has, and we haven't lost that thread because yeah, that was a mess in season one. So. All right, that'll do it for our recap of Halo Season 2, Episode 6, Onyx. Right now, you can check out Matthew Aguilar sitting down with Kate Kennedy, Kai125, to kind of talk about her arc in Season 2 and help dissect more of this pivotal episode. Check that out now.
Hi, Kate. How are you? Thank you so much for jumping into the show for us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Of course. I have been we've been covering Halo for two seasons now. I have been looking forward to this discussion for some time. Kai has been one of the was one of the bright spots and kind of one of the most intriguing characters in season one. And so then to go into season two and kind of in a lot of ways, flip what she's kind of doing and up to and all that, but still kind of keep that core, figuring out how to be a person, type storyline. What's that? Just to kind of take a step back before we get into this current episode, goings-ons, what has that journey been like for you? Because you were Kai was one of the characters that really got to play around with personality and things in that first season.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. First season for Kai was discovering all these brand new emotions for the first time, things that she'd never ever felt before. Absolute roller coaster for her, and there was still a lot of joy within it. Like she was a child discovering these things for the first time. Second season, she's discovering a whole new layer of what it's like to be human, and that it's complicated and a lot harder than she thought.
Well, yeah, and getting into, up until this point, we've had, the fall of Reach, which has been, this kind of nexus point, as it were. We knew we were kind of building to that. And it was, quite the battle, quite the event. And for Kai, it's also become something that, she wasn't there for. And so now there's this like, it feels like this level of guilt and, that she wasn't there for that. And that's also something that we've seen, Ackerson play off of to a degree. What is Kai feeling to this point about Reach? Because it was so monumental, but it was something she just wasn't there for.
Yeah, she wasn't there for it. I think Kai has always taken things as face value. So she deals with her decision-making with whatever pure facts she's got in front of her. And if someone tells her something, she goes ahead with that level of thinking. I think with Reach, it is absolutely heartbreaking that she wasn't there for her. I think she would have done anything to be there. She didn't know the monstrosity and the absolute harrowing nature of the fact they didn't have their suits. And I just think she, as we see in this episode, you've seen the episode, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. as we see in this episode.
I said that very like enthusiastically too. I was like,
we see her kind of catch up with the truth. And it dawning on her and it really, really hitting home.
Well, and that brings us to Onyx. And we will, when this releases, it will be out in the world so we can get into spoiler stuff. But real quick, just to step back, because at the end of that Reach episode, you know, everyone's kind of like, well, where's Kai? Like, where is he just like, you know, and then all of a sudden you see that tag at the end and it was kind of like there was a lot of discussion of, oh, my God, she betrayed them. She's like doing her own thing. And like, you know, the like most, beloved character in season one is now turned her back on everything. Were you ready for some of the some of that wave before we get to Onyx? Because obviously things play out in Onyx, you know, in very different ways. And so some of that is gone into. But before that, were you kind of prepared for some of that?
Oh, I was prepared. Yeah, I feel like it's such a huge departure from what you expect from Kai, really. But then when you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. Like Kai's number one, obviously, Chief is her brother, and that is number one rule for her. But also the Spartan Code, that's her religion. She will do whatever she has to do to obey that Spartan Code. And I think in a way, that is a predictable move from her then, if we follow those set of rules. A big old twist at the end of five.
Well, and of course, getting into this episode, it is, you know, very Kai-centric. We get a lot of answers, you know, and your character's leading her own squad now and trying to get them up to speed and we see Perez. That dynamic's been fun as well, because the, you know, Perez Chief dynamic was kind of built up earlier in the season, and now we're getting to see a new twist on that. What has that been fun to explore as well, just to give Kai like another sounding board?
Exactly, yeah, really fun to have another character that she interacts with kind of personally. And Perez is such an interesting one because, you know, they're very similar in a lot of ways. They've lost a lot of their private life and have sacrificed so much. So they're kind of in similar positions. And I think at the heart of it, Kai knows that Perez is speaking the truth as well during some of those interactions in six. And it still takes a little longer to really clock it.
Yeah. And then, of course, the, you know, leading to a confrontation that everyone's been, it is also just, you know, Pablo killed it in this episode. There's some amazing action sequences. And it's great, too, because we get the juxtaposition between an unarmored Spartan and an armored Spartan in that battle between you two, but it's as much about even more so about the characters than the armor or anything that kind of surrounds it. Do you kind of feel that way?
Absolutely. To me, the words, I mean, the action's wonderful, and shout out to our wonderful choreographer, Phil. It was great. Every move was so perfectly placed, but the words were the real weapons in there, because everything that he says, with each punch she's just begging him to stop, because she knows that he's right. He's right now, and that's why she can't go through with it. She absolutely comes to the realization that of course Chief is right.
She pulls that last punch just a little.
She pulls right. It. It could have been a lot worse.
Like, I know he still, like, you know, slammed into a wall and, you know, it was not pretty, but that was, you got the sense that, like, you know, I did that on purpose.
Yeah. Little brotherly sisterly. What with that?
Well, and it's also been fun too to see no one can tell the truth in the smarmiest way possible than Joseph Morgan's Ackerson. It is a skill. It is like that man can just take the most truthful, honest piece of dialogue and make it just, oh my God, just evil. What's it been like exploring that dynamic between them? Because we get a lot of revelations here that, you know, Kai had kind of started to put together, but now it's like cemented.
Cemented, because he says it outright, yeah. Wonderful to work with Ackerson. I feel like, as you said, there's so many layers to what he says. The bias is always teetering on the edge of, do we buy this guy? Do we believe him? Where's he coming from? But I think there's some softer moments in there with him as well. You know, he has lost, as well as Perez, he's lost loved ones, and he's, again, at this alone. And I think there's a couple of moments in there where they do meet in the middle ever so slightly, and are kind of not friends, but it feels softer. A couple of little prickly moments, but yeah, it was great to work with Ackerson. He's a very fun character.
Yeah, he's the best. It's just that dynamic's been so fun to watch between you two, and you know, she finally really gets the truth here, and you see the, you know, the arc, as it were, and the turn. And it's just, I think it's a nice breath of relief, I think, as it's what a lot of people will, yeah, I think a lot of what people will put. But, you know, it's also, too, one of the things that you really don't get a sense until about midway through this episode of, like, what Kai is going through, too, because the, you know, she doesn't know what, you know, she knows what happened to Vanek, but she wasn't there for it. She's still hearing about it third party, you know, she, when she's asking about Riz, you know, and doesn't know all the details there either. So there's like a lot of stuff she's putting together on the fly, and I feel like it gives you a level of empathy that you don't really consider coming into because of all the kind of grander stuff going on.
Exactly. Yeah. Cause at the heart of this episode for Kai, she's grieving. Like the rest of them had the funeral, but she's also going through some of the worst grief that she's experienced in her Spartan life. So that's, I found that an interesting facet as well.
Now, you've been, you know, kind of one of the points of the season. We've seen a lot of unarmored Spartan, you know, combat and warfare just because of what happened at Reach and the suits not being there, things like that. For you, you've, you know, still kind of, that's one of the big parts of the battle between Chief and Kai is that, you know, we have everything. And I love that he sees all the signs all around the complex of like talking about his death. Using that as propaganda. it's so great. But how has it been to, you know, be in the armor? It seems like it's you know, it's kind of has a mind of its own at times, but also there's some people that have like real fun with that and trying to kind of learn the challenges of that. What's that whole experience been like over these course two seasons?
Well, it's been two seasons and it's been, you know, 3-4 years. So I feel like it's my, in terms of it being like an instrument, you know, I feel like I'm grade 8. You maybe don't have that in America, but I feel like I'm well versed in it now. And I feel actually quite comfortable wearing it. And it makes me feel, it does make me feel the most Kai when I'm in it. It's interesting with that scene with John, though. it doesn't feel, it really doesn't feel right being around another Spartan not in it, like with the two of us. It was so he understands as well. He understands so much of the tribulations of wearing that thing for a whole day of shooting. So he was very kind. But yeah, and as I don't know whether you heard it from others, but the costume department did a brilliant job this year at kind of making the suit a little bit more flexible, less restrictive, a little bit lighter. So we had some more positive movement this season, which again really helps.
Well, and now of course, you know, this episode also is moving some of the other pieces around, right? We've got Arbiter and everything that's happening there. It's quite the cliffhanger ending to this one, you know. And then also we have Soren and what's happening with Kessler. There's a lot of moving pieces around, but what I love about how season two has played out is that like everything feels like within orbit of each other. So it's, you know, it's not like you feel like at any point all of these people and plot points can converge at a moment's notice because they're in kind of the same space.
Yeah, that feels different this time around.
Right. Yeah. It feels like anything can kind of happen and you're not like, okay, well, it's going to take at least an episode to get over there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's in a far off world.
Yeah. And combinations of characters, you're like, oh, actually, they could suddenly be in the same room, which is really exciting. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, we've seen obviously Halsey and Quan are getting time in this one. Yeah. Is there a character, you know, we've got two episodes left, which is criminal to me because I'm like, oh my God, only two episodes left. We have two episodes left. Is there, you know, someone in the kind of in the cast or a character that you would love to see Kai get some more time with to kind of have a pairing off, as it were, through whether that's towards the end of this season or maybe in season three? Is there a character you've been kind of wanting some duo time for?
Yeah, I mean, I love everyone in this cast. So like personally and selfishly, I'd love a bit of time with everyone. but if I had to pick one, not really for the end of this season because you know, we're not going to talk about it. No spoilers. But if there was another season, I'd love Kai and Soren to have a little mad cap adventure somewhere.
Yes. Oh my God. He is a Bokeem is a trip. That character is so good this season. I would love to see those two characters. And it's been so funny because in season one, Kai was, you know, the one really, you know, because of the when, you know, she had the chip removed and things like that. Like she was the character that was really experiencing life in a different way and kind of like trying to explain that to the others of like, this is, you know, I have a lot of complicated feelings, but this is, you know, this is also amazing and that. And so now it's flipped and John is the one, you know, talking to her about like, you know, where does your, you know, where does that, you know, the Spartan end, you know, and having those kinds of conversations. It's so interesting to see that flipped for someone that was so much the crux of that in season one.
Yeah, totally. I think she just fell way too hard into obeying the system. Like I think through discovering her emotions, she was so lost and out there that she needed something to grip onto. And that is the religion of the Spartan code. So I think she became so obedient and aggressively disciplined with it all. And it got her into absolute, yeah, spot of trouble.
A little too far in. Well, the next two episodes are setting up some big things. Everything looks to collide. I am still, you know, I know Riz is like living her best life. I think she said she's crocheting armor, you know, that kind of thing. So like I'm good with that, and I don't want to, you know, break that up in any way, but there is a part of me that, you know, hopes we get a Spartan kind of reunion, you know, at some point down the line, because these characters, I feel like even in just, you know, one episode, got evolved so much. And so, you know, hoping season three, you know, rolls around and maybe we get that reunion. I imagine that's something you'd like to see too at some point.
Oh, I'd love to be back with the gang. Yeah, that would be gorgeous.
RIP Vanek. Because, you know, I also, by the way, this season has made Needlers feel like the deadliest thing on the planet. I never had respect for them like that in the games. I do now.
Yeah, now look what they can do.
Oh my God. It's criminal. Can you, I know we're not going to get into, you know, spoilers. I haven't actually seen those last two episodes yet. So I come at it with nothing. I have no inclination whatsoever. So what can you, kind of tease, for the remainder of the season, what you're most excited about?
Well, I just saw 8 cause I was doing, ADR for it, and be prepared for a lot of surprises, actually, but also just some epic space stuff. You're gonna love it. It's so good. It's really good.
Oh my God, I cannot wait. I'm so hyped, and it's been such a pleasure to get to talk to you, and all the best success on what's coming down the pike, and I hope we get to do this again for season 3.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Absolutely. And of course, you can check out all of our coverage right here on comicbook.com for Halo. Back to you, Kofi.
All right. So we want to thank Kate Kennedy for coming on Comic Book Nation's Quick Save and speaking with us about Halo Season 2, about Episode 6, Onyx, and everything going on with her character, Kai-125. Matt, thanks again. You continue to be just the man at keeping this Halo coverage up and talking with the cast every week. So thanks for that, buddy. We are Comic Book Nation Quick Save, and we are part of the show that does it all for geek culture. Again, make sure you check out our main show live every Friday, where you can comment with us and the rest of the Comic Book Nation fans about the things going on in geek culture. We also have our Anime Initiative spinoff show, and Matt hosts The Pull List, where every week he pulls the biggest things in mainstream and indie comics and tells you all about them. Be sure to check us out. If you were a Marvel head, head over to the other feed for our MCU show, Phase Zero. And if you're a Pokemon fan, please go to the other feed for A Wild Pokemon Has Appeared, our Pokemon fan podcast. All right, that does it for us here on Quick Save. We are still recovering from this A Halo episode, but we got to prepare for Episode 7. It's the penultimate. We will see you guys out there in the universe. Peace.